The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
And the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to our show. This is day number 46 of our memorial celebration. Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to all that are in the afternoon time zones and those that are in the morning time zones. Good morning. Dr. Tim, how are you this morning?
Doing very well, thank you.
Awesome. Is David with us today?
I am.
Well, how are you, young man?
Very well, Michael. Very well.
Good.
Eager for you and Jeannie to arrive.
Yes, looking forward to it. We ended up deciding to get the van packed and spend the rest of the morning here in Kansas City instead of getting stuck somewhere where we couldn't get access. So as soon as we finish the show, we're hopping in the van and heading from Kansas City to Springfield. And getting our list for intensive seasons, intensive start on Monday. 9-day, why is this happening to me again, that we get blessed to do. So is the weather as hot there as it is here?
It's pretty warm out. We had a little shower about a half an hour, 45 minutes ago, and like being in the sauna now. So it's detox time if you're outside.
So, Jeannie, do we have any callers on the line with any hands up in the air or any questions in the chat room of anybody that wants to start to show up with a theme today?
Don't have anything yet.
Well, how about we start the theme of the show today being go start your own Mind Shifters group.
Oh, that sounds good. Yes.
Because
tell us why would you suggest that, sir?
Well, because it's something you were saying yesterday really struck me, and it's that the benefit that I get from having the blessing of teaching this work, and I get to not only hear the testimonials of other people whose lives have improved, but on a regular basis, I get to see how I handle things that I would have called disappointments or failures or setbacks or traumas far differently and with much more love and patience and resilience than I used to just a few years ago. And there are two people currently that I'm working with to try and get additional groups set up, one on the north side of Chicago and one on the south side. And I have had with each of them a couple of phone conversations and got them lined up to have some of the your videos of the first few lectures that they might use. and have discussions with them about what kind of space they should get to hold the group. And it just struck me again when you mentioned it yesterday that the real blessing that is bestowed upon me when I'm teaching this work and how it's accelerating my healing process and improving the quality of my life. So
how does it improve the quality of, how does it improve the quality of your life?
Well, as I said, just the way I handle things that I would have labeled as setbacks or failures or traumas, even just a few years ago, I spend much less time in irritability and anger and frustration and much more time feeling calm and loving. And I get comments from people that have known me. As a matter of fact, there was a woman that hadn't seen me in a number of years, and she responded to a couple email messages I sent, and she said, "It's clear that you've progressed dramatically since the last time I came to see you in therapy. It's clear by your writing that you have a whole different approach. It's much more gentle. It's much more loving." And this was in just a couple simple notes back and forth. So it's noticeable. People that know me see it, and I witness it as more calm, more loving, and more flexible, more able to deal with things that I would have normally labeled as a failure or a trauma or a setback. And I don't even label them that way anymore.
You mean it all becomes an opportunity to learn forgiveness? What an awesome thought.
It does indeed.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And sometimes we go to those opportunities kicking and screaming and blaming and denying, and sometimes we go, oh, here's another layer, another opportunity. So that's the idea of this work and the idea of our celebration of Memorial Day is that of being willing to face one thing today that you're willing to actually take responsibility for, let go of the blame game, and forgive, remove from yourself in the way of some form of hostility, fear, or negative reaction to what happens in the world, and stepping up to the plate with forgiveness. And if you're new to the show and you're not familiar with the forgiveness dynamic that we're talking about, the word forgive in Aramaic does not mean I let you off the hook because of what's happening in me. It's the tool with which I address what's happening in me and change it. So if we could each take one situation each day, as we're inviting you to do as we celebrate Memorial Day day after day, and be responsible and forgive, remove that from our internal experience, then the energetics of hostility and fear on planet Earth would be changing. And as they change, we get the opportunity to participate. And it's an awesome, awesome opportunity. David, what's your experience been of running Mindshifter support groups? That's kind of what got you to Heartland in the first place, isn't it? Hello, David. Well, I guess...
Can you hear me?
We've lost David. Oh, there you go. You're there now. I had lost you there for a moment.
Oh, okay. The key to, as most people will when they hear me, the key to doing anything is taking some action towards it. And teaching, my take of it on doing the teaching part is that I'm teaching myself. Though it appears that I'm... and has been kind of identified as a teacher. In a sense, that's true, and I'm a student as well. So it takes a new level of commitment to doing the work, because there's a commitment then to a group of people, to support other people. And to me, it's what's representative of being of service is that when I'm coming from a place that this is something that I'm doing for myself and for others as a connectiveness, then it accelerates the growth of it. So often I hear people that talk about, and you mentioned before, Michael, what do I need to do, what I need to do. And when you ask them, well, how many worksheets have you done on this? Very few people respond with, well, a lot of people respond with, well, I haven't done any worksheets yet. So my take of it is that on my own, I know that the conversation in my head for many years, I'm going to do it. And I'll do it, and the mind tells me I'm going to do it later. Well, you know my saying is, it doesn't get any easier later. It only gets later, more difficult. And it's later than we think. And when I have someone else that's there, it's that added energy, that willingness of a commitment that's always answered by through the commitment of it. So, yeah, and just begin. You know, begin with yourself. Whether anyone shows up or not, it's irrelevant. Stay with it, and the consistency of staying with it and reflecting that level of commitment, the universe will always answer. It will always give back what it is that's really committed to it. So, starting up. We're here to support you. I'll certainly support anyone in taking it to that next level.
And as you think about a human life, and we often repeat the idea because, of course, when new folks come on the show, they may not know exactly what we're referring to when we talk about a human life. But if you hold a newborn child, you know exactly what a human life is. It is the awesome presence of love that transforms absolutely everything. It is the stuff we're made of. We are not random accidents in the universe. And this awesome ability that each of us has to create what happens in our lives and to participate in so many different ways in what's happening in the world is not only an awesome opportunity, but an awesome responsibility. There's no random accident to it. Of course, there are those in the world that would try to tell us that, you know, well, it has no purpose. It just happened. It's just kind of this accident in the universe that came out of the slime. And that's like thinking that a meteor could crash into a junkyard and come out of the other side a functioning 747 jet. You, because of your true nature, have the power to live in being. You have the power to transform lives by your presence. And it takes taking the time to embody true being, to live as the active presence of love, which is not necessarily all that well supported in our culture. So the idea of a support group and Tim's invitation was to look at growing a community around you that supports the active presence of love. Now, it isn't always the easiest thing because as you do that, there will be those who really aren't too interested in living as the active presence of love. They might give it lip service, but they would rather condemn someone who's moving in that direction and carry on with the same old game. And so the idea of a support group is to keep moving in that direction and to engage and to look at everything that is less than love and move forward in that state of love.
I add that what I was hearing to say that usually in my experience with myself was I was always waiting for else to do it. I was waiting for significant things inside, and what I've discovered through my experience that comes after I've taken that when I've made the commitment and I move towards it, it automatically towards me. And so the sense of doing it, commitment, and the driving force of all of it, to me, the driving force, like I made a commitment to do this, and so I'm keeping my commitment. And from that, it opens up everything because I then begin to trust myself, I trust the universe, and I trust what to do that I complete it, and when I do that, strengthen will be successful. I think that's our true nature. So many we said, and then maybe that keeps fear, fear unquote, of pushing. And it's
yeah, David,
just a trap.
You're breaking up, David. It's hard to understand you.
Okay, well, I'll find another one. Okay.
So Jeannie has put a section on the website for those who might want to start a support group. Jeannie, would you talk a little bit about how to start a support group in someone's own community?
Well, the place on the website is over in the right column. Go down through the menu, and it's titled support group. And when you click on it, or support group information. And when you click on that, then there's several things under there. We list every location that we know of. I'm sure there's support groups happening that we've not been given the information, but we have a list by state of where support groups are happening. So if you want to start one, please send us the information of where you meet, what days, and what time. That way, when people travel around, that they can find support groups wherever they are. Then there's the next item down is general guidelines and suggestions for starting a support group. And it's, you know, there's no set rules or anything. This is just kind of based on, I started a support group several years ago and did it for over a year before I went on the road with Michael. And that group continued for several years. We just heard last week that it kind of ceased. But based on experiences that I had in starting the support group, it's just kind of some guidelines and suggestions for getting one started. Then there's things like stuck points to help you see where I have seen people get stuck doing worksheets and how to move them past those stuck points. And so that's out there. We have suggestions to the facilitators what to do when issues arrive, and we have a link to Dr. Tim's group. He has a blog that's called Connected, Congruent, and Flowing, and it's a Mindshifter support group blog, and so we have a link for that, and he has some awesome advice. There's been several people that I have sent in his direction to talk to about starting one. There's suggestions for teaching different worksheets, suggestions about conducting a breath workshop, and just letters from active support groups, questions, frequently asked questions. There's just a lot of information out there. Different groups do differently. The way that I did it was I had 2 hours every week. In the first hour, I would show one half of a DVD. And then the second half, we would do worksheets together. We would discuss what we saw, things like that. Then the next week, we watched the second half of that DVD and did the same thing. Every week, we did worksheets together. And it's always was kind of funny because whatever I had chosen to be the topic that I was going to teach that next week, I would actually experience it during the week. So I could go in and even as the facilitator say, okay, this is what happened to me this week. And the group would then support me in working through things. And it's sort of like that African proverb that we use a lot that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And so building that community, like you said, around you to help you in your process, even though you're the facilitator to try to keep it on track, it's for you as much as it is for the people that attend it.
Awesome. So people can just go to the website, download all those documents, and read them over and have a really good sense of what getting a support group going looks like. And if you have any questions about that, our phone number, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We'd love to hear your questions around any aspect of the work and or how can we support you in starting a support group, getting people together who do worksheets together and who start to move things in the direction of healing in their lives or take the next step in the direction of healing and doing it with a very powerful community to move there and shift. So, Jeannie, any questions in the chat room? Any comment going on? Any callers?
No, the only conversation's been one person was having difficulty with their audio, and so I gave them some suggestions of how to get that back on. And, Joe, when you just now said you were losing audio, if it was when David was talking, it was cutting in and out. So I hope that you're able to hear it now. You were having, I know, a lot of difficulty there at the beginning, but that's basically all the conversation that's going on right now.
Cool. Fabulous. Well, the forgiveness tool is on the website as well. The Aramaic idea of forgiveness is about how you change internal dynamics. Forgiveness is applied to what's going on inside yourself. It's not applied to someone else. It's not applied to yourself. It's not about letting yourself or someone else off the hook. It's a tool with which you go inside yourself and collapse the mind's ability to produce realities based in hostility and fear. And that forgiveness tool is at www.whyagain.com. On the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. First three links. First one is an explanation of the forgiveness process. The second one is the actual worksheet, step-by-step process. The third one is an MP3 of us walking a young lady named Pamela through the process of forgiveness. She volunteered. And so we're here to support you in that process. And what do you need to face? What do you need to handle? What do each of us, individually and collectively, need to face in order to step out of the game of hostility and fear and into the game of functioning as human lives? Forgiveness becomes one of the key tools in doing that because it's the way to remove those things that never belonged. And, you know, we tend to be creatures of habit and stored in accurate ways of thinking and behaving. If we're not going to have them run us, have to be faced. They have to be removed. And, of course, when we have one of those old stored inaccurate ways of thinking and behaving, the tendency will always be to enter into a conversation about someone else rather than take responsibility for oneself. And forgiveness allows us to touch into the parts of ourselves that have been hidden. And as you build the brain cells, and that's one of the things the support group will do, as you build the brain cells for truth, then a whole new set of content starts to become the basis from which you function. And as you do that, everything, the way you think, the way you feel, your physiology, your relationships, your finances, everything begins to change and begins to shift. Of course, to do that, you're going to have to question everything. You know, it's interesting how often people will cling to, obviously, to things that didn't work, never worked, never will work. But because those things have been put into their minds with the use of terror and threat, they refuse to give them up if they don't work. And the whole idea here is that you delete fear, you delete hostility thinking. And oftentimes that's been implanted to control us, and it never belonged in our minds in the first place. And the prime requirement of shifting out of that way of thinking and feeling that never belonged in a human life in the first place is the tool of forgiveness. It takes time to build the brain cells for significant change to occur. If you've been on the show more than once, or perhaps each time, there's another level of comprehension, another level of understanding of what we're talking about. And it's about doing the work. It's not about a belief system. It's not about, let's figure out what somebody else did 2,000 years ago and see if by knowing that they did that, it'll help us. It's about taking those tools and putting them to work in our world, in our own lives. And, you know, Tim made the comment yesterday about personal experience. And, you know, we're looking to support every mind, heart, and being on the planet having a personal experience, personally experienced, of the absolute, active, direct presence of love in their minds. And being able to delete, remove, be freed from all forms of hostility and fear. What would life be like if you had no reason whatsoever to complain, to put down, to criticize, to condemn, be sad, what would it be like if your direct experience was, I am the active presence of love. I am that newborn presence. And everything unlike that newborn presence doesn't belong in me. And then you brought a group of people together who said, that sounds like a good premise. Let's learn how to do that together. And what you would find would be a whole community of people who would support you in being able to live as that presence of love. And that's what we're here to support you in.
You know, Michael, yesterday you were talking to Reverend Jane, and you were talking about true perception, the five smooth stones,
yes, sir,
that one that was true perception.
Right.
And I found that I was trying to take notes, and I went back to my notes, and it just said true perception dash, and it was blank. So I went back after the show and listened to the audio again, and I listened to it all the way through, and then went back and tried to start it again, and I just kept... It kept slipping away from me. And I thought that this might be a good time to talk about that. It's the phenomena you talk about a couple different ways, the dissociated mind. Guy Finley talks about it as the mind divided against itself. But it's the kind of phenomena that you mentioned last week when you were talking about people in the intensives, and you ask that everybody be there for every part of every session, because invariably... the part I need to hear most is the part you're going to get to right when I go to the bathroom.
Right.
Or my mind is going to shut it off as I'm trying to listen to you like yesterday. And what I got after the third time through listening to the true perception, your discussion of it with Reverend Jane yesterday, was that essentially... in order to have true perception, I have to be coming from that space of love. And that my perception, or the mind's version of perception, will be anything that leaves me with hostility or fear or blaming somebody else or telling somebody else in my mind that they're responsible for what I'm feeling. But it took me... and I may not even have that completely right, but it took me 3 repetitions yesterday to cut through my defenses about hearing another presentation of that issue of true perception. So maybe you could talk a little bit about the tricks our mind plays on us to convince us that what we already know is all we need to know.
Well, if you go back to the teachings of the man named Yeshua, you oftentimes hear him saying things like, having ears they did not hear, having eyes they did not see. And one of the things that we oftentimes try to do is to understand something through this database function of the body-mind unit, and it's storing information. And in order to understand, we have to awaken to that new level of being where those 5 smooth stones we spoke about in yesterday's show exist and function. And, of course, they were called smooth stones because they were practiced faculties. They weren't just, something that that we became aware of one day and went, oh, okay, now I have these. It's a practice to build those faculties. And the part of us that understands things is being. The part of us that stores information is just an information storage system, and it has no ability to understand. And so when he talked about you had to have the eyes to see or the ears to hear, each time you hear it, a truth, it builds information into that non-being mind. But the information is not the understanding, and the non-being mind is not the understander. the experience of being gives us the capacity to understand. And we have to live there in order to do it. It's not something that is just talked about, you know, in many circles where there's no real work being done. There's just a conversation about what somebody else did, and then a little threat and a little fear and a little guilt to reinforce and make sure everybody listens, as opposed to what's the real tool that's needed? What's the real experience of actually having our physiology totally, completely fueled and plugged into the active presence of love? And there's the understander. There's the part of us that can grasp, capture, and understand something. And once we build brain cells into this, what we call, we're referring to as the replicate mind, the mind just replicates whatever's stored in it. When we build the brain cells into that, that are in line with truth, then that mind supports us in our understanding. Otherwise, it detracts. It's always shouting and screaming of something else. And the way you can tell if it's shouting or screaming of something else is there's hostility or fear. And that hostility or fear distracts and detracts us from solidifying true being and solidifying experiencing our lives from that solidified spiritual body called love that we are. Any form of hostility or fear detracts and breaks up that direct experience. And that's why the continuous work of forgiveness is so necessary, because when some form of hostility or fear is triggered or activated in us by something in our world, it tears us out of the spiritual body, the created spiritual essence that we are, that newborn essence that we were all designed to be and to function out of. The world tends to rip us offward. And the work of inner healing has been systemized into dogmatic religious systems without including the actual work of healing, or turning the work of healing into something that it was never intended to be. For instance, around this key idea of forgiveness that we're looking to restore, is you'll see in most systems in the world, and it's so interesting traveling around the country and around the globe and talking to and working with people, how long it takes for them to get that. Forgiveness isn't about, I'm going to let you off the hook. And people have to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. And still, because they've been told for so long and it's been so deeply rooted that it's about letting somebody else off the hook, that they'll still come back with, yeah, well, I already forgave them. Well, if you've forgiven somebody, if you've forgiven yourself, then you're not doing forgiveness work. Because forgiveness work is the tool you apply to your own hostility or fear to delete and remove that hostility or fear. And if one functions out of hostility or fear, then the experience that the founder of whatever it is you're studying said you needed to have isn't present. It isn't there. And if a particular teaching produces fear instead of love, then it's time to remove that dogma, that doctrine, that which is based in fear and hostility. You apply forgiveness to that to remove it from brain cells, to remove it from the mind. And we get the opportunity to create something quite different. And if you have any questions about that idea, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number is 646-200-4169. Why don't you pick up the phone and call us? What question can we answer for you? What question can we entertain that we might all learn something from? Katie, do we have any conversation in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody on the line with a question?
No, nothing happening. Just listening.
You know, the parallel between the work you're doing and the work Guy Finley does struck me again this morning. I was listening to something Guy said. He said, most of us use our anger as a barometer to tell us how right we are. The more I get angry about a situation or something someone else has done, the more it validates for me that I'm right and they're wrong. And the more anger I'm in, the more pain I'm in. And he says, how could your pain and your anger be an indication that you're right? He says, your pain, your anger, doesn't mean that you're right. It means you don't know what rightness is. Because, as you say in the worksheet, Michael, if I'm in pain, I'm in error. And so often, the crux of the controlling mind game that the culture gives us is the opposite of it. If I'm in pain, somebody else caused it. I'm an innocent victim, and I have a right to go after them. How do I get to go after them? I have to enlist someone from the outside in the system, and now I'm a victim, and I have to go pay somebody or lean on somebody else or ask them how to do it. So it puts me in the victim role, and it puts me under the authority of others at several different levels, whereas if I recognize if I'm in pain, I'm in error, it puts me in the authority of changing what I'm doing to actually relieve my own pain. So that's another thing I really like about this work, is that even though it gives me responsibility, it gives me the authority to change it.
Yeah, it gives you resolution. It's powerful to be able to resolve those things that in so many family systems are just not resolvable. They just go on and on and on. It's definitely a major one. There's a cute story that Guy tells, I referred to a few weeks ago, and I thought it was just very cool, that where he talks about this fellow is going on a trip and stops by to see a friend who started a new business making
wooden chair.
Wooden chairs, yeah, he's making chairs, and he's just put up this new sign, and he's, you know, making these chairs, and he says, well, good luck in your business, and I'm off, I'll be back in a few months. And so 6 months later, the guy comes back, and his friend's sign of building new chairs is gone, and there's a new sign on his building. And he says, gee, what's this? You've advanced in your business, you're not building chairs anymore, you're building all kinds of wood furniture. And the guy's, yeah. He says, I just started this new business just the other day. And he said, well, what happened to the chair business? He said, well, I just discovered that I didn't have any skill at building chairs. I didn't have any skills at, you know, doing things with wood like that. And his friend kind of looks at him and, you know, flabbergasted. He says, well, how come you're building furniture? He said, well, I just thought I'd start over and hope things would be different this time. And we watch people who move from relationship to relationship to relationship and never bothering to acquire the skills or the tools, or when the stress is up and the chips are down, go back to the old skills and the old tools and wish things would be different. Carrying a bag of garbage into a relationship and hoping that this new relationship will make things inside of one different. And the thing that makes things inside of one different is the work that one does inside of one, inside of oneself. And ultimately, as we do that, the reflections that happen in our relationships start to shift and change. And to the degree that they're shifting and changing, we'll get to heal. And as you hit new levels of vitality, then you get to go to new depths of those spaces to clear those things out. And it's a pretty amazing process to do that. 646, 800-400-4169. Are you putting the pen to the paper and trying and working with the forgiveness process? Have you moved to the direct experience of love out of states of darkness, of punishment, sacrifice, and moving, you know, away from the bizarre ideas of men that, you know, that the punishment is what's going to motivate us to love, and moving into a direct experience of the active presence of love, removing through forgiveness everything else that would hold us back from that total experience. And recognizing that a fear-based system of control that is based in the loveless ideas of men, based in non-being, are not logical and are not sensible and are not going to return us to our original home, which is the direct experience of love. And we're here to do the work of removing those things. So many theological monstrosities, guilt and fear have kept people shackled for centuries into those states. Are we willing to move away from those states and recognize that loveless minds that purport to represent love don't? And when we're in our own loveless states, neither do we. And there's a way to be restored to that state of love. And as you are restored to that state of love, you bring about a different world. You bring about a different experience. You know, Tim has shared with us several times the experience in the support group of the shifts and changes that people walk through and come out the other side. And just magnificent, monumental changes in those regards. So let's start with the definition of sanity as the active presence of love, and then be committed to functioning as beings connected to sanity, connected to the active presence of love. So love, you know, is the essential background energy of the universe. It's not coming to get you. It's not keeping records on you. It's not about to punish anyone. It's simply there as a state that upholds and supports you. That state of the awesome presence of a human life has never left you. But if someone fills your brain cell structure with all kinds of hostilities and fears, it may seem to have be out of reach. As you step into and do your work and remove those states that don't belong, then you come back to functioning out of your true human essence.
Michael,
the true presence of love.
If there's no one on the phone with a comment or a question, I'd like to ask about something you were talking about last week, maybe the week before, with Sam. We were asking Sam about her experience, and she talked about, she described how she's rolling through problems and traumas that used to really derail her and cause all kinds of problems in her life, and she's stopping and doing some breathing and shedding some tears or doing a few worksheets and moving right on. And you mentioned something about living at process point. Could you explain what you mean by that?
Sure. Yes, to get to the point where, you know, in the ancient teachings they talked about the veil of the temple must be rent in twain. Now that's been interpreted as, you know, some kind of a purple curtain in a church somewhere. But the veil of the temple that they were speaking about, rent in twain, tearing in two, was the barrier between the subconscious and the unconscious mind. When we deny ownership for what's going on in our lives, we create this barrier, this veil. And everything we don't want to deal with, as you had mentioned a little earlier in the show, we hide away in the dissociated mind. And that's been going on for so many centuries on our planet. You know, you look back and just read a little bit of even religious history, and you look at the atrocities that people did, you know, that the so-called greatest preachers did to other preachers in the name of the love of God. And it's just, you know, it's amazing. So we all have a store of those hostilities and fears. And what I've observed in my own process and in the process of others is that there comes a point where you've started to create a habit of doing your work and reaching such a level of aliveness and vitality that you live with that veil open. And it opens wider and wider, which means that things come up faster and faster. Things move through more and more quickly. And as they move through, you're at what I just, you know, came to define it as process point. So living where the active presence of love is so powerful and the veil is sufficiently opened that we're continuously, literally, it's like washing the genetics. It's like flushing out what never belonged. That story I told a couple of weeks ago that about the fellow who lived in the Virginia coal mines, and the young boy you know, just loves and admires his grandfather, but he doesn't understand, as he reads these high treatises on love, doesn't understand as the young boy tries to read it. He's like, I don't get it, Grandpa. I don't understand. You know, why do you spend all these hours? I've watched you all these years, and every day you're reading this material, but I've tried to read it, and I don't understand it. And the old man reaches over, and he dumps the last of the coal out of a wicker coal basket and into the fire to keep things warm. He says, son, take this down to the river, fill it with water, and bring the water back to me. Make a long story short, of course, the boy tries to do this three or four times with a wicker basket, and the wicker basket, you know, by the time he gets back, of course, it's empty. So the boy exclaims to the grandfather, you know, this is just, it's useless. I could never get back here fast enough. You know, it just doesn't accomplish anything. And the old man says, yeah, but take a look at the wicker basket. And the boy, for the first time, realizes that all these trips to the river and taking these volumes of water that would, of course, leak out by the time he got back to the house, left the wicker basket that was filled with coal dust and dirt clean as a whistle. Living in the state where we're willing to be in process continuously, opening to a level of vitality that empowers us to live in that process point, has us, you know, cleaning that basket 24/7, 365, awake or asleep. And the basket, of course, is our genetics. It's our whole genetic history. You know, when you recognize this body-mind unit is a device that stores everything that comes to it, every frequency, every thought, every feeling, every reality stored holographically in every cell, we're kind of like the wicker basket, and filled with coal dust. And when we're like the wicker basket filled with coal dust and we hear a new high truth, it calls to us. We go, ah, there's something to that, yes, but we can't hold it. It just flows through us. You know, like you were talking about at the beginning of the show, you listen to that piece on true perception three times, and it's like it just falls through. It's because there are too many, we might say, anti-brain cells to contain that. But as you engage it, it's flushing out the dust and the dirt. And then we have the capacity to hold the truth of that which we're reaching to understand. So this body-mind unit, this whole genetic history, I mean, literally we've got the thoughts, the feelings, the realities of every generation that has gone before us, stored holographically in every cell. And by engaging in truth, by engaging in a continuous study, you know, when we do an intensive, it's really awesome to watch the energetical level that people get to, and that's one of the ideas of the intensive, is to get to process point where the veil opens and there's enough support in the space and enough people who are really truly about doing their work, that we may not even know what it is we're processing, but we're flushing, cleansing, clearing continuously. And so it's actually been a couple of decades ago that I started to recognize that point, which I dubbed process point. And to live in that continuously, and, you know, we tend to go through phases where that becomes our state. If we're in a support space where everybody truly is about being responsible and truly is about moving through, letting go of the blame game, letting go of the denial game, and opening to that. Does that make sense to your question?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I thought you were hinting at, but that's a more detailed explanation of it. And I'm looking forward to the time when I live there more often. And I think it's a good thing to highlight that, you know, a lot of times we talk about you need to put the pen to the paper and you need to face the darker side of things and your own negative thoughts and take responsibility for them. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun to people, but I think we should highlight the fact that it leads to a much easier, more enjoyable, more fluid lifestyle, healthier relationships, and more time in that space of love, and that's the whole goal. Not just wallowing in the mud and the muck, but seeing the mud and the muck I'm creating and choosing not to create it anymore.
Yeah, for sure. It's Yeshua spoke of it as the gate was narrow. Few would be those that would find the path. And what is the path? The path, I think, is a balance between engaging in the work of forgiveness and spending time as the active presence of love. It's bringing those two things together simultaneously and living in that state. And taking the time to be in delight and joy. And what will tend to happen with this body-mind unit and its genetic history of burden is it will tend to just go back to its old burden. It'll tend to go back to the good old family feeling. And when there's nothing, you know, when the craving comes for that good old family feeling to take over, the mind will create a reality, a whole set of circumstances that will justify and make it seem like I'm only thinking and feeling this way because of what you did, rather than, why am I thinking and feeling this way? What's going on for me? What has happened in my life that brought forward this kind of trauma that I now either blame you for or have the opportunity to work through myself? And, of course, in that process, there are dark periods. There's no question about it. And that's the power of the support group. That's when a support group becomes extremely valuable, that when I'm lost in my muddle, that if there's someone that I'm willing to trust. Now, of course, if I'm going to blame everybody, then, you know, who can I trust? Well, nobody. Well, there I am. Now I'm stuck in it's impossible again. But the truth is it's possible to live directly as the active presence of love and to live there 24/7, 365. You know, most behavior processes come from the deeper recesses in the mind. And the deeper recesses of the mind hold so much. You look at the drama and trauma that so many people live in continuously. The hate, the rage, the fear, the pain, the blame, the guilt, the shame, the fear, the condemnation. And, of course, the game of that mind is to pass it on to somebody else rather than go, oh, here I am in it. What do I need to forgive to get back to the direct experience of love? Right here, right now. And if you recognize that at the root of the output of your mind there's some form of hostility or fear, that's the time to go back to the Hermetic Beatitudes. that's the time to go back and reinforce the tuv that was spoken of in those Beatitudes. We did a show on the Beatitudes just a few days ago. If you weren't with us, you'd certainly be welcome to go back and click on the MP3 of the Beatitudes. And in the Beatitudes, it speaks of how do you activate a neural structure that underlies happiness and well-being. It's not exactly the neural structure that was given to you in the good old family feeling. It's not exactly the neural structure that was given to you in church. It's not exactly the neural structure that was given to you in school, because most of those things are about control. But the neural structure was put into us from the very beginning by the Creator. And our work together is to recapture the activity of that neural structure in us by living differently than what the world would teach. Our phone number, we've got a few minutes left, probably time for one call, is 646-200-4169. Are you doing worksheets? Are you putting the pen to the paper? What's your question on the worksheet? Call us. Ask your question. Now, the ancient teaching said, know the truth and the truth will set you free, but often people would rather remain in bondage. To be freed from bondage, to hostility and fear, is where we're journeying toward and where we're inviting you to come and journey with us. Key process is that of forgiveness, letting loose of what never belonged. Wishing, hoping, promising that one's behavior will change will not create the slightest shift in behavior. Because when the circumstances that trigger the unconscious dynamics of hostility and fear are presented, they'll resonate whatever's stored in the mind. If you haven't removed what's stored in the mind, then those things will simply step in and take over. When those things are triggered, if you stop and you recognize, here's an old behavior rearing its ugly head, trying to take control of my mind again, it is through forgiveness that I exercise choice, that I strengthen that other spiritual faculty that we spoke about yesterday, the five smooth stones. Confusion is one of the non-being mind's first lines of defense. When you step into being, when you reclaim your actual human life, confusion starts to fall apart and disappear. Jeannie, any callers? Any comments in the chat room?
No, everybody's just sitting quietly. No hands up, nobody's talking.
Come on, you guys, make some noise.
And it is a process, and even though some of us have been doing worksheets for quite a while, I'm still not there.
Yeah, I haven't met anybody that's there, and I include myself in that game, too. It is definitely a process, and it has its peaks and its valleys, and it's something that each person has to take responsibility for and go through the process of healing. You go back and you look at Paul 2,000 years ago, and he does this beautiful writing about love. Obviously, he was in a peak state. And then he turns around when the stress is up and the chips are down and says, why is it the things I would do, I cannot do? And the things I hate are what I do. Yeah, it's definitely a process. Not always fun. However, if you engage in the process, you will create the best year yet of your eternal life. And our support group is about assisting you. Our Mind Shifters Radio is about supporting you in realizing, making real in your life the active presence of love. We hold a blessing for you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.